We will only introduce briefly this chapter. We have to move on to some other things this morning, this afternoon. We are to that in, well, again, depending on which edition, which version you have. If you have this edition of the Holy War, the one that we are using, then it is chapter 18. As I said to you, in the Holy War, not all of the publishers place the chapter divisions in the same place. It depends on which year and which publication you got. The one we're using, we have arrived at what is chapter 18, where Bunyan takes up the story of the Holy War for man's soul with these words, "But there were three of those that came from the land of doubting, who, after they had wandered and ranged the country for a while, and perceived that they had escaped, were so hardy as to thrust themselves, knowing that there were in the town of Mansoul, I say, they were so hardy as to thrust themselves into man's soul among them." Now, these are doubters who have remained alive and have been out ranging, roaming around, but now they are going to return to man's soul. You know, the experience of different believers is different, isn't it? But some struggle with this issue of doubt all the way to the gates, literally all the way to the gates. And Bunyan was such a soul. John Bunyan himself was such a man, such a person. And he struggled long and hard, and you find that in all of his writings, and here in the Holy War. Here he has, after this great victory, and even Emmanuel has returned to the city and is in the castle. Even now, Bunyan has in his writing these three doubters who've come back and inserted themselves into the town of man's soul. Murder said, "Doubts will return again and again, and while there is such a thing as evil questioning in the heart, they will find a harbor there. Unbelief, however, is obliged to fly." But as long as there are evil questionings, there will be doubt. And Bunyan says there were these three, and then he says, as a parenthetical, he has a parenthesis here, "Three, did I say? I think there were four." Now, to whose house should these Diabolians go but to the house of an old Diabolian in man's soul whose name was Evil Questioning? Evil questioning. A very great enemy he was to man's soul, and a great doer among the Diabolians there. Well, to this evil questioning's house, as was said, did these Diabolians come. You may be sure that they had directions how to find the way thither. So he made them welcome, pitied their misfortune, and succored them with the best that he had in his house. These Diabolians went to the house of evil questioning. In another writing, not in the Holy War, but in another place, in some of Mr. Bunyan's writings, he wrote this: Satan, even from himself, besides the working of our own lust, doth do us wonderful injury, and hits our souls with many a fiery dart that we think comes either from ourselves or from heaven or God himself. Satan diligently waits to come in at the door if careless has left it a little ajar. So long as we retain the simplicity of the word, we have Satan at the end of the staff. For unless we give way to a doubt about that, about the truth and simplicity of it, he gets no ground upon us. Now, I'm going to finish what he says here, but I want to pause there a minute and drive home that point. When we start questioning, this fellow's name was Evil Questioning. When we start questioning God's word, I mean, just questioning it. Not sure. Is that right? Is that true? As soon as we start evil questioning, we are open to Satan's attack. But I like the way he put, he said, retain the simplicity of the word. What does it say? Well, that's all I need to know. That should be the answer. That should be the end of all discussion. What does the Word of God say? He says, in time of temptation, it is our wisdom and duty to keep close to the Word that prohibits and forbids sin, and not to reason with Satan of how far our outward and worldly privileges go, especially of those privileges that border on the temptation. Eve said, we may eat of all but one. We may eat of all but one, she said. By this she goeth to the outside of her liberty and sees herself upon the brink of danger. Christ might have told the tempter when he assaulted him that he could have made stones bread, and that he could have descended from the pinnacle of the temple, as afterwards he did. But that would have admitted the other question, wherefore he chooseth to lay aside such needless and unwarrantable reasonings and resist him with a direct word from God, most pertinent to quash the tempter and also preserve himself in the way. You see, Bunyan is making an argument for simply go to the Word, find the answer, and stop questioning. Reasonable, sensible, simple. Go to the Word, find the answer, and stop questioning. And don't be pushing the boundaries of what we may or may not understand. Bunyan goes on, now after a little acquaintance, and it was not long before they had that, this old evil questioning asked the doubters if they were all of a town. He knew that they were all of one kingdom, but he's asking them, are y'all from the same town? And they answered, no, nor not of one shire neither. For I, said one, am an election doubter. An election doubter. I just can't get peace with whether or not I'm elect. Who would say that? Oh, a diabolian that's an election doubter. I, said another, am a vocation doubter. I'm not sure I've been called. My vocation. Then said the third, I'm a salvation doubter. And the fourth said, he was a grace doubter. I just don't believe the grace of God sufficient. Well, quoth the old gentleman, be of what shire you will, I am persuaded that you are down boys. You have the very length of my foot, are one with my heart, and shall be welcome to me. Welcome to who? Now, who's speaking here? evil questioning, these doubters. So they thanked him and were glad that they had found themselves a harbor in man's soul. The note from our commentator in this version that we're using says this: notwithstanding the signal defeat of the conjoined army of doubters and bloodmen, the wrath of hell is still busy with new plots and fresh designs against the soul. Insatiable indeed is the gorge of hell, and inventive the capacity of the evil one in the devices of his cruel wrath against man of God. Satan hungers and thirsts for souls. The terrible army of doubt has been routed. The army of bloodmen have been reserved for the future decision of the judge. And yet it would appear there are doubts enough yet lingering about for the purpose of making further attempts to overcome the fidelity and consistency of the child of God. Again and again, in Bunyan's own experience, did these doubts and fears come forth from the land of doubting, tending to entangle the soul and plunge it in deep perplexity. The form this present phase of evil assumes is that of doubt arising in the soul from the spirit of evil questioning. This is not the spirit of legitimate inquiry. Now, what he's fixing to say is very important, a great lesson. Every saint needs to get your teeth sunk into this lesson. Listen to this, what he's saying. This is not the spirit of legitimate inquiry. There is such a thing as a legitimate inquiry. Questions that the saint can have that are legitimate. This is not the same, he says. Nor is it the same as diligent self-examination. But rather, it is a spirit of unbelief engendered in the soul by the encouragement of morbid doubts. You get it? There's a fine line here, but there's a difference between self-examination, one's heart before the Lord, and knowing that, making our calling and election sure. That's one thing. But there's this evil questioning that starts from the vantage point of doubt. Doubting election. Doubting the grace of God. Doubting His salvation. Doubting His word. These are not legitimate means of self-examination. These are the fruit of unbelief, and they're not legitimate. He says, as indicated by the names of the doubters here referred to, which signify a revival of those doubts which question God's electing love, His effectual call, the fullness of salvation, and that all is of God's good grace and mercy. They doubt that. These are doubts coming, doubting God's truth. Bunyan here speaks experimentally, for even in his converted state, he was sorely tried by such doubts as these. For example, in his autobiography, Grace Abounding, he records how the election doubters and the grace doubters, as he here calls them, vexed his soul. Bunyan said, "Here I began to find my soul to be assaulted with fresh doubts about my future happiness, especially with such as these, whether I was elected. But how, if the day of grace should now be past and gone?" And again, he speaks of the vocation doubters when he says, "Here I was at a very great stand, not knowing what to do, fearing I was not called. For thought I, if I be not called, what then can do me any good?" All of this is the fruit, must I say it? All of this is the fruit of diabolians. This is the fruit of Diabolians. Diabolian doubters. This is not the fruit of legitimate self-examination and inquiry into one's heart. Don't cross that line between legitimate inquiry and evil doubtings. Mason said, in our best estate, we are too prone to question the truth of God's word and his faithfulness. Believe him able, but not willing to save us. We are too easy to come to be prone to think that he is well able, but not willing to save us. And then Mason says, Lord, increase our faith. If God has said something in his word, it is evil to doubt him. It's evil to doubt him. It's evil to doubt. It's not just sad. It's not just uncomfortable. It's not just difficult. No, it's evil. It's evil. He said he would do this. He will do all that come to me, I shall in no wise cast out. He'll save everyone. It's evil to doubt that. Positively evil. And it comes from these Diabolian doubters in the soul. Is that simple enough? Is that simple enough? It's true. Then said evil questioning to them, how many of your company might there be that came with you to siege of man's soul? And they answered, now he's inquiring about where they were before, this battle that went before, and what they had seen. Says, how many of your company came out to this battle? They answered, there were but 10,000 doubters in all, for the rest of the army consisted of 15,000 bloodmen. These bloodmen, quoth they, border upon our country, but poor men, as we hear, they were every one taken by Emmanuel's forces. 10,000, quoth the old gentleman. I will promise you that is a round company. But how came it to pass, since you were so mighty a number, that you fainted and durst not fight your foes? Our general, said they, was the first man that did run for it. Pray, quoth their landlord, who was that cowardly general? He was once the Lord Mayor of man's soul, said they. But pray call him not a cowardly general, for whether any from the east or the west has done more service for our prince Diabolus than was Lord Incredulity will be a hard question for you to answer. But had they catched him, they would for certain have hanged him, and we promise you, hanging is but a bad business, say the least. Then said the old gentleman, would that all the 10,000 doubters were now well armed in man's soul, and myself at the head of them. I would see what I could do. Aye, said they, that would be well if we could see that, but wishes alas, what are they? And these words were spoken aloud. Well, said old evil questioning, take heed that you talk not too loud. You must be quiet and close and take care of yourselves while you're here, or I will assure you, you will be snapped. Don't talk too loud. Our commentator says, there are times when doubts may wax presumptuous in the soul, but it behooves them to speak with bated breath when the Spirit and Emmanuel are enshrined within. It is, as it were, by stealth and secretly that any such doubt can be entertained and encouraged in the soul when Jesus reigns supreme. Be careful, don't talk too loud, because if Emmanuel or the prince or the secretary hear this, they're going to hang you. Why, quoth the doubters, why doth the old gentleman, why? Because both the prince and Lord Secretary and captains and soldiers are all at present in town. Yea, the town is as full of them as it can hold. And besides, there is one whose name is Will-be-Will, most cruel enemy of ours, and him the prince has made the keeper of the gates, and his command and has commanded him that with all diligence he should look for, search out, and destroy all and all manner of diabolians. And if he lighteth upon you, down you go, though your heads were made of gold. Will-be-Will. This brave minister of the king still holds his important office in the renewed man. It is the duty of the watchful, sanctified, militant will of man to search out and destroy these doubts that gather round the soul as the billows in the deep or as the breakers on the shore. These doubts are not to be entertained. They are not to be indulged, but must be bravely and stoutly, as on this occasion, resisted by the strong hand and sturdy arm of the will. That's simply saying, this is not the power of positive thinking. That's psychological rubbish. This is not the power of positive thinking. This is the renewed heart declaring the truth of God and saying, I will not doubt it. I refuse to doubt it. That's an act of the will, the renewed will, the believer's renewed heart. And because of that, our commentator is bold to say, these doubts are not to be entertained. They are not to be indulged. Bring the Word of God to it, and let that be the end of it. It will not engage these things. It will not doubt them. Strong advice. And now to see how it happened. One of the Lord Will-be-Will's faithful soldiers, whose name was Mr. Diligence. Thank God for Mr. Diligence. He stood all this while listening under old Evil Questioning's eaves, and heard all the talk that had been betwixt him and the doubters that he entertained under his roof. Dear Mr. Diligence, what's he doing? He's being diligent. He's out there listening. He's listening to these doubts. The soldier was a man that my Lord had much confidence in, that he loved dearly, that both because he was a man of courage and also a man that was unwearied in seeking after diabolians to apprehend them. That's why his name was Mr. Diligence. He never got tired of his job. Our commentator says, when the will of the renewed man is seconded by diligence in search and action, all is well with the soul's health and well-being. Something like Mr. Prywell is this trusty servant of the sanctified will, Mr. Diligence. He goes up and down, to and fro, in the soul, searching out the lurking power of evil. Bunyan means by this to lay repeated honor on the principle of self-examination. He's diligently searching, constantly searching for something that doesn't belong in man's soul. It is well for the soul when it is thus watchful and diligent and prompt in giving information, and when the will is strong and resolute to act upon the information given. So, Mr. Diligence is listening to the plotting and scheming of these wicked doubters, diabolians. And he heard the plan. He heard the plan. Next week, Lord willing, we will take up here. We will only introduce briefly this chapter. We have to move on to some other things. This afternoon, we are to that in, well, again, depending on which edition, which version you have. If you have this edition of the Holy War, the one that we are using, then it is chapter 18. As I said to you, in the Holy War, not all of the publishers place the chapter divisions in the same place. It depends on which year and which publication you got. The one we're using, we have arrived at what is chapter 18, where Bunyan takes up the story of the Holy War for man's soul with these words, "But there were three of those that came from the land of doubting, who, after they had wandered and ranged the country for a while, and perceived that they had escaped, were so hardy as to thrust themselves, knowing that there were in the town of Mansoul, I say, they were so hardy as to thrust themselves into Mansoul among them." Now, these are doubters who have remained alive and have been out ranging, roaming around, but now they are going to return to man's soul. You know, the experience of different believers is different, isn't it? But some struggle with this issue of doubt all the way to the gates, literally all the way to the gates. And Bunyan was such a soul. John Bunyan himself was such a man, such a person. And he struggled long and hard, and you find that in all of his writings, and here in the Holy War. Here he has, after this great victory, and even Emmanuel has returned to the city and is in the castle. Even now, Bunyan has in his writing these three doubters who've come back and inserted themselves into the town of Mansoul. Murder said, "Doubts will return again and again, and while there is such a thing as evil questioning in the heart, they will find a harbor there. Unbelief, however, is obliged to fly." But as long as there are evil questionings, there will be doubt. And Bunyan says there were these three. And then he says, as a parenthetical, he has a parenthesis here, "Three, did I say? I think there were four." Now, to whose house should these Diabolians go but to the house of an old Diabolian in man's soul whose name was Evil Questioning? Evil Questioning. A very great enemy he was to man's soul, and a great doer among the Diabolians there. Well, to this evil questioning's house, as was said, did these Diabolians come. You may be sure that they had directions how to find the way thither. So he made them welcome, pitied their misfortune, and succored them with the best that he had in his house. These Diabolians went to the house of evil questioning. In another writing, not in the Holy War, but in another place in some of Mr. Bunyan's writings, he wrote this: Satan, even from himself, besides the working of our own lust, doth do us wonderful injury and hits our souls with many a fiery dart that we think comes either from ourselves or from heaven or God himself. Satan diligently waits to come in at the door if careless has left it a little ajar. So long as we retain the simplicity of the word, we have Satan at the end of the staff. For unless we give way to a doubt about that, about the truth and simplicity of it, he gets no ground upon us. Now, I'm going to finish what he says here, but I want to pause there a minute and drive home that point. When we start questioning, this fellow's name was Evil Questioning. When we start questioning God's word, I mean, just questioning. Not sure. Is that right? Is that true? As soon as we start evil questioning, we are open to Satan's attack. But I like the way he put, he said, retain the simplicity of the word. What does it say? Well, that's all I need to know. That should be the answer. That should be the end of all discussion. What does the Word of God say? He says, in time of temptation, it is our wisdom and duty to keep close to the Word that prohibits and forbids sin, and not to reason with Satan of how far our outward and worldly privileges go, especially of those privileges that border on the temptation. Eve said, we may eat of all but one. We may eat of all but one, she said. By this she goeth to the outside of her liberty and sees herself upon the brink of danger. Christ might have told the tempter when he assaulted him that he could have made stones bread, and that he could have descended from the pinnacle of the temple, as afterwards he did. But that would have admitted the other question, wherefore he chooseth to lay aside such needless and unwarrantable reasonings and resist him with a direct word from God, most pertinent to quash the tempter and also preserve himself in the way. You see, Bunyan is making an argument for simply go to the Word, find the answer, and stop questioning. Reasonable, sensible, simple. Go to the Word, find the answer, and stop questioning. And don't be pushing the boundaries of what we may or may not understand. Bunyan goes on, now after a little acquaintance, and it was not long before they had that, this old evil questioning asked the doubters if they were all of a town. He knew that they were all of one kingdom, but he's asking them, are y'all from the same town? And they answered, no, nor not of one shire neither. For I, said one, am an election doubter. An election doubter. I just can't get peace of whether or not I'm elect. Who would say that? Oh, a Diabolia. That's an election doubter. I, said another, am a vocation doubter. I'm not sure I've been called. My vocation. Then said the third, I'm a salvation doubter. And the fourth said, he was a grace doubter. I just don't believe the grace of God's sufficient. Well, quoth the old gentleman, be of what shire you will, I am persuaded that you are down boys. You have the very length of my foot, are one with my heart, and shall be welcome to me. Welcome to who? Now, who's speaking here? Evil question. These doubters. So they thanked him and were glad that they had found themselves a harbor in man's soul. The note from our commentator in this version that we're using says this, notwithstanding the signal defeat of the conjoined army of doubters and bloodmen, the wrath of hell is still busy with new plots and fresh designs against the soul. Insatiable indeed is the gorge of hell, and inventive the capacity of the evil one in the devices of his cruel wrath against man of God. Satan hungers and thirsts for souls. The terrible army of doubt has been routed. The army of bloodmen have been reserved for the future decision of the judge, and yet it would appear there are doubts enough yet lingering about for the purpose of making further attempts to overcome the fidelity and consistency of the child of God. Again and again, in Bunyan's own experience, did these doubts and fears come forth from the land of doubting, tending to entangle the soul and plunge it in deep perplexity. The form this present phase of evil assumes is that of doubt arising in the soul from the spirit of evil questioning. This is not the spirit of legitimate inquiry. Now, what he's fixing to say is very important, a great lesson. Every saint needs to get your teeth sunk into this lesson. Listen to this, what he's saying. This is not the spirit of legitimate inquiry. There is such a thing as a legitimate inquiry. Questions that the saint can have that are legitimate. This is not the same, he says. Nor is it the same as diligent self-examination. But rather it is a spirit of unbelief, engendered in the soul by the encouragement of morbid doubts. You get it? There's a fine line here, but there's a difference between self-examination, one's heart before the Lord, and knowing that making our calling and election sure. That's one thing. But there's this evil questioning that starts from the vantage point of doubt. Doubting election. Doubting the grace of God. Doubting His salvation. Doubting His Word. These are not legitimate means of self-examination. These are the fruit of unbelief. And they're not legitimate. He says, as indicated by the names of the doubters here referred to, which signify a revival of those doubts which question God's electing love, His effectual call, the fullness of salvation, and that all is of God's good grace and mercy. They doubt that. These are doubts coming, doubting God's truth. Bunyan here speaks experimentally, for even in his converted state, he was sorely tried by such doubts as these. For example, in his autobiography, Grace Abounding, he records how the election doubters and the grace doubters, as he here calls them, vexed his soul. Bunyan said, "Here I began to find my soul to be assaulted with fresh doubts about my future happiness, especially with such as these, whether I was elected. But how, if the day of grace should now be past and gone?" And again, he speaks of the vocation doubters when he says, "Here I was at a very great stand, not knowing what to do, fearing I was not called. For thought I, if I be not called, what then can do me any good?" All of this is the fruit. Must I say it? All of this is the fruit of Diabolians. This is the fruit of Diabolians. Diabolian doubters. This is not the fruit of legitimate self-examination and inquiry into one's heart. Don't cross that line between legitimate inquiry and evil doubtings. Mason said, "In our best estate, we are too prone to question the truth of God's word and his faithfulness. Believe him able, but not willing to save us." We are too easy to come to be prone to think that he is well able, but not willing to save us. And then Mason says, "Lord, increase our faith." If God has said something in his word, it is evil to doubt him. It's evil to doubt him. It's evil to doubt. It's not just sad. It's not just uncomfortable. It's not just difficult. No, it's evil. It's evil. He said he would do this. He will do all that come to me, I shall in no wise cast out. I receive everyone. It's evil to doubt that. Positively evil. And it comes from these Diabolian doubters in the soul. Is that simple enough? Is that simple enough? It's true. Then said evil questioning to them, "How many of your company might there be that came with you to siege of man's soul?" And they answered. Now he's inquiring about where they were before, this battle that went before, and what they had seen. Says, how many of your company came out to this battle? They answered, "There were but 10,000 doubters in all, for the rest of the army consisted of 15,000 bloodmen. These bloodmen," quoth they, "border upon our country, but poor men, as we hear, they were every one taken by Emmanuel's forces." 10,000, quoth the old gentleman. "I will promise you that is a round company. But how came it to pass, since you were so mighty a number, that you fainted and durst not fight your foes?" "Our general," said they, "was the first man that did run for it." "Pray," quoth their landlord, "who was that cowardly general?" "He was once the Lord Mayor of Mansoul," said they. "But pray call him not a cowardly general, for whether any from the east or the west has done more service for our Prince Diabolus than was Lord Incredulity will be a hard question for you to answer. But had they catched him, they would for certain have hanged him, and we promise you hanging is but a bad business," say the least. Then said the old gentleman, Would that all the 10,000 doubters were now well armed in man's soul, and myself at the head of them. I would see what I could do. Aye, said they. That would be well if we could see that, but wishes alas, what are they? And these words were spoken aloud. Well, said old Evil Questioning, take heed that you talk not too loud. You must be quiet and close and take care of yourselves while you're here, or I will assure you, you will be snapped. Don't talk too loud. Our commentator says, there are times when doubts may wax presumptuous in the soul, but it behooves them to speak with bated breath when the Spirit and Emmanuel are enshrined within. It is, as it were, by stealth and secretly that any such doubt can be entertained and encouraged in the soul when Jesus reigns supreme. Be careful. Don't talk too loud. Because if Emmanuel or the prince or the secretary hear this, they're going to hang you. Why, quoth the doubters, why doth the old gentleman, why? Because both the prince and lord secretary and captains and soldiers are all at present in town. Yea, the town is as full of them as it can hold. And besides, there is one whose name is Will Be Will, most cruel enemy of ours, and him the prince has made the keeper of the gates. And has commanded him that with all diligence he should look for, search out, and destroy all and all manner of diabolians. And if he lighteth upon you, down you go, though your heads were made of gold. Will Be Will. This brave minister of the king still holds his important office in the renewed man. It is the duty of the watchful, sanctified, militant will of man to search out and destroy these doubts that gather round the soul as the billows in the deep or as the breakers on the shore. These doubts are not to be entertained. They are not to be indulged, but must be bravely and stoutly, as on this occasion, resisted by the strong hand and sturdy arm of the will. That's simply saying, this is not the power of positive thinking. That's psychological rubbish. This is not the power of positive thinking. This is the renewed heart declaring the truth of God and saying, I will not doubt it. I refuse to doubt it. That's an act of the will, the renewed will, the believer's renewed heart. And because of that, our commentator is bold to say, these doubts are not to be entertained. They are not to be indulged. Bring the Word of God to it, and let that be the end of it. It will not engage these things. It will not doubt them. Strong advice. And now to see how it happened. One of the Lord Will Be Will's faithful soldiers, whose name was Mr. Diligence. Thank God for Mr. Diligence. He stood all this while listening under old Evil Questioning's eaves, and heard all the talk that had been betwixt him and the doubters that he entertained under his roof. Dear Mr. Diligence, what's he doing? He's being diligent. He's being diligent. He's out there listening. He's listening to these doubts. The soldier was a man that my Lord had much confidence in, and that he loved dearly, that both because he was a man of courage and also a man that was unwearied in seeking after Diabolians to apprehend them. That's why his name was Mr. Diligence. He never got tired of his job. Our commentator says, when the will of the renewed man is seconded by diligence in search and action, all is well with the soul's health and well-being. Something like Mr. Prywell is this trusty servant of the sanctified will, Mr. Diligence. He goes up and down, to and fro, in the soul, searching out the lurking power of evil. Bunyan means by this to lay repeated honor on the principle of self-examination. He's diligently searching, constantly searching for something that doesn't belong in man's soul. It is well for the soul when it is thus watchful and diligent and prompt in giving information, and when the will is strong and resolute to act upon the information given. So, Mr. Diligence is listening to the plotting and scheming of these wicked doubters, Diabolians. And he heard the plan. He heard the plan. Next week, Lord willing, we will take up here. We will only introduce briefly this chapter. We have to move on to some other things this afternoon. We are to that in, well, again, depending on which edition, which version you have. If you have this edition of the Holy War, the one that we are using, then it is chapter 18. As I said to you, in the Holy War, not all of the publishers place the chapter divisions in the same place. It depends on which year and which publication you got. The one we're using, we have arrived at what is chapter 18, where Bunyan takes up the story of the Holy War for man's soul with these words, "But there were three of those that came from the land of doubting, who, after they had wandered and ranged the country for a while, and perceived that they had escaped, were so hardy as to thrust themselves, knowing that there were in the town of Mansoul, I say, they were so hardy as to thrust themselves into man's soul among them." Now, these are doubters who have remained alive and have been out ranging, roaming around, but now they are going to return to man's soul. You know, the experience of different believers is different, isn't it? But some struggle with this issue of doubt all the way to the gates. Literally, all the way to the gates. And Bunyan was such a soul. John Bunyan himself was such a man, such a person. And he struggled long and hard, and you find that in all of his writings, and here in the Holy War. Here he has, after this great victory, and even Emmanuel has returned to the city and is in the castle. Even now, Bunyan has in his writing these three doubters who've come back and inserted themselves into the town of man's soul. Berger said, "Doubts will return again and again And while there is such a thing as evil questioning in the heart, they will find a harbor there. Unbelief, however, is obliged to fly. But as long as there are evil questionings, there will be doubt. And Bunyan says there were these three. And then he says, as a parenthetical, he has a parenthesis here, three, did I say? I think there were four. Now, to whose house should these Diabolians go but to the house of an old Diabolian in man's soul whose name was Evil Questioning? Evil Questioning. A very great enemy he was to man's soul, and a great doer among the Diabolians there. Well, to this evil questioning's house, as was said, did these Diabolians come. You may be sure that they had directions how to find the way thither. So he made them welcome, pitied their misfortune, and succored them with the best that he had in his house. These Diabolians went to the house of evil questioning. In another writing, not in the Holy War, but in another place, in some of Mr. Bunyan's writings, he wrote this: Satan, even from himself, besides the working of our own lust, doth do us wonderful injury and hits our souls with many a fiery dart that we think comes either from ourselves or from heaven or God himself. Satan diligently waits to come in at the door if careless has left it a little ajar. So long as we retain the simplicity of the word, we have Satan at the end of the staff. For unless we give way to a doubt about that, about the truth and simplicity of it, he gets no ground upon us. Now, I'm going to finish what he says here, but I want to pause there a minute and drive home that point. When we start questioning, this fellow's name was Evil Questioning. When we start questioning God's word, I mean, just questioning. Not sure. Is that right? Is that true? As soon as we start evil questioning, we are open to Satan's attack. But I like the way he said, retain the simplicity of the word. What does it say? Well, that's all I need to know. That should be the answer. That should be the end of all discussion. What does the Word of God say? He says, in time of temptation, it is our wisdom and duty to keep close to the Word that prohibits and forbids sin, and not to reason with Satan of how far our outward and worldly privileges go, especially of those privileges that border on the temptation. Eve said, we may eat of all but one. We may eat of all but one, she said. By this she goeth to the outside of her liberty and sees herself upon the brink of danger. Christ might have told the tempter when he assaulted him that he could have made stones bread, and that he could have descended from the pinnacle of the temple, as afterwards he did. But that would have admitted the other question, wherefore he chooseth to lay aside such needless and unwarrantable reasonings and resist him with a direct word from God, most pertinent to quash the tempter and also preserve himself in the way. You see, Bunyan is making an argument for simply go to the Word, find the answer, and stop questioning. Reasonable, sensible, simple. Go to the Word, find the answer, and stop questioning. And don't be pushing the boundaries of what we may or may not understand. Bunyan goes on, now after a little acquaintance, and it was not long before they had that, this old evil questioning asked the doubters if they were all of a town. He knew that they were all of one kingdom, but he's asking them, are y'all from the same town? And they answered, no, nor not of one shire neither. For I, said one, am an election doubter. An election doubter. I just can't get peace with whether or not I'm elect. Who would say that? Oh, a diabolian. That's an election doubter. I, said another, am a vocation doubter. I'm not sure I've been called. My vocation. Then said the third, I'm a salvation doubter. And the fourth said, he was a grace doubter. I just don't believe the grace of God sufficient. Well, quoth the old gentleman, be of what shire you will, I am persuaded that you are down boys. You have the very length of my foot, are one with my heart, and shall be welcome to me. Welcome to who? Now, who's speaking here? Evil questioning. These doubters. So they thanked him and were glad that they had found themselves a harbor in man's soul. The note from our commentator in this version that we're using says this, notwithstanding the signal defeat of the conjoined army of doubters and bloodmen, the wrath of hell is still busy with new plots and fresh designs against the soul. Insatiable indeed is the gorge of hell, and inventive the capacity of the evil one in the devices of his cruel wrath against man, God. Satan hungers and thirsts for souls. The terrible army of doubt has been routed. The army of bloodmen have been reserved for the future decision of the judge, and yet it would appear there are doubts enough yet lingering about for the purpose of making further attempts to overcome the fidelity and consistency of the child of God. Again and again, in Bunyan's own experience, did these doubts and fears come forth from the land of doubting, tending to entangle the soul and plunge it in deep perplexity. The form this present phase of evil assumes is that of doubt arising in the soul from the spirit of evil questioning. This is not the spirit of legitimate inquiry. Now, what he's fixing to say is very important, a great lesson. Every saint needs to get your teeth sunk into this lesson. Listen to this, what he's saying. This is not the spirit of legitimate inquiry. There is such a thing as a legitimate inquiry. Questions that the saint can have that are legitimate. This is not the same, he says. Nor is it the same as diligent self-examination. But rather it is a spirit of unbelief engendered in the soul by the encouragement of morbid doubts. You get it? There's a fine line here, but there's a difference between self-examination, one's heart before the Lord, and knowing that making our calling and election sure. That's one thing. But there's this evil questioning that starts from the vantage point of doubt. Doubting election. Doubting the grace of God. doubting his salvation, doubting his word. These are not legitimate means of self-examination. These are the fruit of unbelief, and they're not legitimate. He says, as indicated by the names of the doubters here referred to, which signify a revival of those doubts which question God's electing love, His effectual call, the fullness of salvation, and that all is of God's good grace and mercy. They doubt that. These are doubts coming, doubting God's truth. Bunyan here speaks experimentally, for even in his converted state, he was sorely tried by such doubts as these. For example, in his autobiography, Grace Abounding, he records how the election doubters and the grace doubters, as he here calls them, vexed his soul. Bunyan said, "Here I began to find my soul to be assaulted with fresh doubts about my future happiness, especially with such as these, whether I was elected. But how, if the day of grace should now be past and gone?" And again, he speaks of the vocation doubters when he says, "Here I was at a very great stand, not knowing what to do, fearing I was not called. For thought I, if I be not called, what then can do me any good?" All of this is the fruit. Must I say it? All of this is the fruit of Diabolians. This is the fruit of Diabolians. Diabolian doubters. This is not the fruit of legitimate self-examination and inquiry into one's heart. Don't cross that line between legitimate inquiry and evil doubtings. Mason said, "In our best estate, we are too prone to question the truth of God's word and His faithfulness. Believe Him able, but not willing to save us." We are too easy to come to be prone to think that He is well able, but not willing to save us. And then Mason says, "Lord, increase our faith." If God has said something in His Word, it is evil to doubt Him. It's evil to doubt Him. It's evil to doubt. It's not just sad. It's not just uncomfortable. It's not just difficult. No, it's evil. It's evil. He said He would do this. He will do all that come to me, I shall in no wise cast out. Receive everyone. It's evil to doubt that. Positively evil. And it comes from these Diabolian doubters in the soul. Is that simple enough? Is that simple enough? It's true. "Then said evil questioning to them, how many of your company might there be that came with you to siege of man's soul? And they answered," now he's inquiring about where they were before, this battle that went before, and what they had seen. Says, how many of your company came out to this battle? "They answered, there were but 10,000 doubters in all, for the rest of the army consisted of 15,000 bloodmen. These bloodmen," quoth they, "border upon our country, but poor men, as we hear, they were every one taken by Emmanuel's forces." 10,000, quoth the old gentleman. "I will promise you that is a round company. But how came it to pass, since you were so mighty a number, that you fainted and durst not fight your foes? Our general, said they, was the first man that did run for it. Pray, quoth their landlord, who was that cowardly general? He was once the Lord Mayor of Mansoul, said they. But pray call him not a cowardly general, for whether any from the east or the west has done more service for our Prince Diabolus than was Lord Incredulity will be a hard question for you to answer. But had they catched him, they would for certain have hanged him, and we promise you hanging is but a bad business, say the least. Then said the old gentleman, would that all the 10,000 doubters were now well armed in Mansoul, and myself at the head of them. I would see what I could do. Aye, said they, that would be well if we could see that, but wishes, alas, what are they? And these words were spoken aloud. Well, said old Evil Questioning, take heed that you talk not too loud. You must be quiet and close, and take care of yourselves while you're here, or I will assure you, you will be snapped. Don't talk too loud. Our commentator says, there are times when doubts may wax presumptuous in the soul, but it behooves them to speak with bated breath when the Spirit and Emmanuel are enshrined within. It is, as it were, by stealth and secretly that any such doubt can be entertained and encouraged in the soul when Jesus reigns supreme. Be careful, don't talk too loud, because if Emmanuel or the prince or the secretary hear this, they're going to hang you. Why, quoth the doubters, why doth the old gentleman, why? Because both the prince and lord secretary and captains and soldiers are all at present in town. Yea, the town is as full of them as it can hold. And besides, there is one whose name is Will Be Will, most cruel enemy of ours, and him the prince has made the keeper of the gates. And his command, and has commanded him that with all diligence he can, he should look for, search out, and destroy all and all manner of diabolians. And if he lighteth upon you, down you go, though your heads were made of gold. Will Be Will. This brave minister of the king still holds his important office in the renewed man. It is the duty of the watchful, sanctified, militant will of man to search out and destroy these doubts that gather round the soul as the billows in the deep or as the breakers on the shore. These doubts are not to be entertained. They are not to be indulged, but must be bravely and stoutly, as on this occasion, resisted by the strong hand and sturdy arm of the will. That's simply saying, this is not the power of positive thinking. That's psychological rubbish. This is not the power of positive thinking. This is the renewed heart declaring the truth of God and saying, I will not doubt it. I refuse to doubt it. That's an act of the will, the renewed will, the believer's renewed heart. And because of that, our commentator is bold to say, these doubts are not to be entertained. They are not to be indulged. Bring the Word of God to it, and let that be the end of it. We will not engage these things. We will not doubt them. Oh, strong advice. And now to see how it happened, one of the Lord Wilby Will's faithful soldiers, whose name was Mr. Diligence. Thank God for Mr. Diligence. He stood all this while listening under old Evil Questioning's Eve's, and heard all the talk that had been betwixt him and the doubters that he entertained under his roof. Dear Mr. Diligence, what's he doing? He's being diligent. He's being diligent. He's out there listening. He's listening for these doubts. The soldier was a man that my Lord had much confidence in, that he loved dearly, that both because he was a man of courage and also a man that was unwearied in seeking after Diabolians to apprehend them. That's why his name was Mr. Diligence. He never got tired of his job. Our commentator says, when the will of the renewed man is seconded by diligence in search and action, all is well with the soul's health and well-being. Something like Mr. Prywell is this trusty servant of the sanctified will, Mr. Diligence. He goes up and down, to and fro, in the soul, searching out the lurking power of evil. Bunyan means by this to lay repeated honor on the principle of self-examination. He's diligently searching, constantly searching for something that doesn't belong in man's soul. It is well for the soul when it is thus watchful and diligent and prompt in giving information, and when the will is strong and resolute to act upon the information given. So, Mr. Diligence is listening to the plotting and scheming of these wicked doubters, Diabolians. And he heard the plan. He heard the plan. Next week, Lord willing, we will take up here